Blog Talk Radio.
Some days it seems like it's so hard to get out of bed. So many issues facing me is coming to a head. I stand in needing your anointing, Lord, cover me and renew in me the right spirit, please. Till that secret, sacred place with you. Make an atmosphere to hear from you. Restore me so I'll be renewed. You kept me here and you see me through.
And everyone that has decided and are tuning in today, I want to thank you. This is February the 20th, 2021. Praise God, we're in the third month of a new year. Well, third month of this year. I don't know if it's still new, but certainly we are in the third month. This is Blog Talk Radio. I am your host. Welcome. Dr. Maria Carey, I am the president and the CEO of Amazing Grace Ministries. I thank each and every one of you for being present on this morning. I want to thank my co-host, Evangelist Terry Rogers, that co-hosts this show with me. Certainly, that's a blessing for her to be a part of this ministry, and I thank God for so announcements. Well, Amazing Grace Ministries, we're going to be our school of ministry. We are up. We are running. We're going to have our classes. The Lord has impressed it upon me to teach Old Testament survey. Certainly, we're going to start that next week, March the 25th. And last week, it was announced that it will start at 7. It will not start at 7. It will start at 5 p.m. We are taking into account that we are teaching this class via several states and different time zones. God has been good to us. And certainly it is still open to each and every one of you that say, I want to learn more about the Bible. I will encourage you to give me a call. You can fill out your enrollment form. This course, the registration fee is not that much. Praise God. We're asking God that you would sow into this ministry. And certainly, if we have been blessing you, and I say we, because I'm saying the whole Amazing Grace Ministries, Inc., both me and my co-hosts, if we have been blessing you, I ask that you will let us know, give us a shout-out, or even give us a financial donation. Certainly, it costs to run a ministry, and we are endeavoring to do a great work of the Lord. We are like Nehemiah. The people had a mind to work, and we are not coming down off this wall. So we are. We'll be in class next Thursday at 5 p.m. via Zoom. In our class, we have two books: The Survey of the Old Testament and the Bible Workbook. We are going to have a time in the Lord. We are going to learn the Word of God. Now, this class will be broken up into two parts because the Old Testament, we're doing Old Testament survey first. And we got to break it down, saints. We got to break it down. But this book, you only need two books. I got it down to two books, praise the Lord. So give me an email. Give me a shout-out. You can find me on Facebook. You can call me at 309-750-7584 and just say, Dr. Carey, I want to be included in this class. Because I'm telling you right now, we're going to have a dynamite class. We're going to learn the Word of God, and we're going to get down to it. Because it is important that we know the Word of God during this last and evil time. Because God ain't playing with us, saints. He on his way back. So if you want to give Amazing Grace Ministries a donation, you can send that via check. Or you can give me a call and I'll come pick it up. Or you can send it to my Cash App. So. But if you want to send it to me, it's P.O. Box 438-411, Chicago, Illinois, 60643. Thank you. All righty. So let's get to the business. Again, if this lesson has been a blessing to you, just give us a shout-out, give us an email, and certainly my email address is amazinggraceministries@gmail.com, and that amazing is not I-N-G, but E-N. So let's get to it. Prepare to hear a word of God that will captivate your mind, that will change your life, it will move you forward. And this year, 2021, we're going to break down every yoke. We're going to spring forth. I know we've already sprung forth. The time has been moved forward. That was on last Sunday. Now we're looking for the trees to blossom. We're looking for greenery to pop up. And certainly in a few more months, we're going to see those little creatures, those little bugs and creatures that fly around in the springtime will come out of hibernation. So we are repositioning ourselves to prepare for the harvest. Okay, of course we've been down, but we haven't been counted out, and we've spring forth to reap the harvest, and we are coming out of a year of attack. And certainly now, this Saturday, we're going to talk about proceeding with caution, but riding on faith. Our topic this Saturday is proceeding with caution, but riding on faith. Now, open up your Bibles. We're going to 2 Kings, verses 14 through 20. We got a lot of names here, so we're going to go through the names, and we're going to get to the Word of God. So let's read. So Hilkiah, the priest, and Elohim, Elhaikim, and Akbar and Shafar and Azariah went unto Hilda, the prophetess, the wife of Shelem, the son of Tikra, the son of Hezar, and we've got to understand, sometimes these names will give us trouble, but we've got to work through them, we've got to pronounce them, we've got to go over them, because these names are important to understanding the word of God. The keeper of the wardrobe, now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, and they communed with her. I don't know if anybody can shout and say, hey, did you know that there was a woman in the Bible named Hilda? All right, we're going to talk about it today. And she said unto them, thus said the Lord of Israel, tell the man that sent you to me, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil unto this place and upon the inhabitants. Therefore, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah has read, because they have forsaken me and have burnt incense of the gods, that they may provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands, before my wrath shall be kindled against this place and shall not be quenched. But to the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire of the Lord, and saints, we've got to inquire of the Lord. We've got to inquire of the Lord every day. Thus shall ye say to him, thus say the Lord of Israel. Now this is God talking. As touching the words which thou hast heard, because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou hast heard what I spake unto this place, and against the inhabitants thereof, that they shall become a desolation and a curse, and has rent their clothes and went before me, I also have heard thee, said the Lord. Now this is the Lord talking now. Behold, therefore, verse 20, I will gather thee unto the fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace, and thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring unto this place. And I brought the king's word again. Now, the latter part is this, is riding on faith. Now, Hebrews, we know this is a familiar verse. This is Hebrews 11 chapter. We all know it, but we're going to read it again. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. I quote it all the time. For by it the elders obtain a good report. And three, through faith we understand that the world was formed by the word of God, circle the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So we have been talking about what's going on. Now, we have been in a year of coronavirus. Everybody is talking about a year of what's been happening. We know that in March 2020, everything was shut down. The world was shut down. People were dying from this disease and this coronavirus. We didn't know what it was. We didn't know what was going on. We know it started in 2019. Somebody said it started in somebody's lab, but it came over to the United States and everything shut down. Everything went on hold. Restaurants closed up. Hospitals said only one can come in. People started rushing into the emergency rooms, being put on ventilators. People started dying at a phenomenal, unseen rates. saints were going home. We see masses of people that died, and everybody in the United States, everybody in the world know and understand that they were touched by this coronavirus. And even the church was touched by it. It came through the church, and churches had to close down. They had to shut it down. You couldn't gather. You had to put on masks, which we're still wearing. But now we are in March of 2021, and we are coming out of the kitchen, in essence. We're coming out of our houses. We have this vaccination, some. You know, African-American communities, we don't believe and this virus because we have been treated so badly. But God used this coronavirus to really highlight what the African Americans have been already going through. We've been going through racism and unequal treatment and living in places that seem to not, that seem to be just places of destitution or desolations. We've just been, our forefathers, our people that have came before us talk about picking cotton and slavery. And even today we see that racism does not have really a color on black and brown people. Even when we see this young man going into these parlors and killing up those of Asian descent. So if you don't seem to be of a descent that makes, that says you are fair skin and blue eyes, then you are a threat. And we hear the term a lot, white supremacy. We hear the term white privilege. Those are going around now. People are speaking their truths. We see people standing up. And with all of this going on, we see the internet that's popped up and got very popular. As we have shut down, companies like Zoom have been become extremely profitable. They are putting us on internet. We can see each other. We may not be able to be with each other, but we can see each other. So the internet and social media has become its rising star, and we have really begun to use social media like never before. The churches have learned to put their ministries on Facebook. They've learned to put it on Google Classroom. They've learned to open up their doors to the television and YouTube. So now, even in the midst of people being sheltered in place, people having to deal with social distancing, Sunday mornings you can open television, go to YouTube, and find your favorite church on YouTube. We have been sharing, we have been tweeting, we have been retweeting. We have seen people on Facebook and connecting and by phone like never before. So this world, the children or the world of technology certainly has given us a vehicle to move in this time of corona. But now we're opening up. Now we're coming out the doors. Now we see the mayor of Chicago and the governor of Illinois talking about we're about to get back to some form of normalcy. We've got a president that's saying we are on track to have all these individuals vaccinated, and when we get everybody vaccinated, then we can have more social gatherings. We see the restaurants that are opening up. We see the theaters and cruise lines and people are trying to get on an airplane again. But we understand that if you're going on an airplane, you got to have your card, your little card, that little white card that says you've been vaccinated. Well, we're living in certainly a different time, a strange time, but we've got to proceed with caution. Now, when we look at proceeding with caution, what does that mean? It means alertness. It means prudence in hazardous situation with care. We proceed with caution, meaning we're looking and we're watching. So the Bible says to be watchful. Don't be asleep. And we're moving now. We're proceeding in a way that we're praying, that we're seeking the direction of God. We're asking God to provide our way. We're looking for those hazards in the road, those bumps in the road. You know how you drive and there's a hole in the middle of the road and you swerve over just a little bit, not enough to go in somebody else's lane, but you swerve over or swerve in the middle so you won't hit that bump. Because if you hit too many bumps and they're deep, that means you got a flat tire that you got to deal with. So we are going, we are moving with caution in difficult times as we face the new orders of our society, as we are being vaccinated, as we are moving forward. And those of you that say, look, I'm believing God, that's it. Y'all believe God because God does all things well. If you're talking, if you're hearing to this radio show and you're well in your body, that means that God has protected you. And you know, we know the blood of the Lamb, the blood that has come by his stripes, we're healed. We understand that we don't walk in fear. We don't walk in what man tells us because we know that Christ paid it all. Now, what is proceeding? Define it, Dr. Carey. It's a series of activities or events that's happening. It's the series of going, the series proceedings. It's something that are taking place. We're about to see a different change. We're about to go into some form of going, getting back to where we once was. So we're moving. There's activities happening. There's things that's going on. There's records taking place. So we are proceeding. We are getting ready to move forward. We are getting ready to reposition ourselves. We are getting ready to spring forth in the harvest. We are moving to a new dimension because we have been praying. We have been seeking. We have been fasting. We have been putting ourselves in a position to hear from on high. Now, some of the opposites of proceeding or the opposite of caution is carelessness, disregard, ignorance, neglect, negligence, thoughtlessness. So those are the opposite of caution. So saints of God, we've got to be, our eyes must be open. Don't fall asleep on what God is doing. That's another topic. Don't fall asleep on what God is doing. So we're looking to move forward. We're looking at a series of activities now that 2021 is about to show us. We're about to move in a different way. We're about to go back and reap the harvest of our reward of staying in home and getting closer to the Lord. Now, what does it mean when I say riding? To sit on it, to manage it, be carried on a horse or animal in motion. So in essence, what it means that I'm getting ready for the motion. I'm getting ready to ride on what God is about to show me. I'm getting ready to ride on the Holy Ghost of my strength, the Holy Ghost of my anointing, the Holy Ghost of direction, the Holy Ghost of understanding, the Holy Ghost of wisdom, the Holy Ghost that is my friend and my comforter and my guide, the Holy Spirit that God issued after he went back to heaven. He said, now y'all go and in the upper room and y'all pray and seek God. And the Holy Ghost came. Amen. Hallelujah. So we are talking about proceeding with caution, but riding on faith. Now, let's get to the topic. Let's get to the Word of God. We see that in 2 Kings here, we're talking about Huldah. We're talking about a prophet, a prophetess, a woman of God that came on the scene and gave Josiah. Now, a lot of you don't know maybe who Josiah was, and we're going to talk about this woman of God in terms of her ministry. Now, Josiah, this is three generations in the making. When we look at this word in 2 Kings, we understand that, first of all, we got to go back to Hezekiah. Hezekiah, you know Hezekiah? Hezekiah, that man that knew the Lord and walked up in David's ways in his earlier part of his life. But as he slacked off, then he had to repent and get back with God because he did some things that God didn't authorize him to do. Now, one of the things we have to remember that we are walking with the Lord. And if we're walking with the Lord, we've got to follow God's precepts. We've got to follow God's word. And that's what we're talking about, proceeding with caution. We see the world in which we're living. We see what happened in this coronavirus. God shut everything down. God shut a world down that have not been talking to him, that has not been seeking him. We've got to hold up the bloodstained banner and let this dying world know that it is in God in which we live, have our meaning, have our being, and we move in him. So you have to understand this is a three-generation reign of Hezekiah, who ruled the southern kingdoms from 715 to 687 BCE. Hezekiah ranked as one of the greatest kings of the southern kingdom. It's referred to as Judah. Now, the southern kingdom was referred to as Judah. Hezekiah was 25 years old when he preceded his father Ahaz as king, and he reigned for 29 years. He was unlike his father, who failed to honor the covenant, committing religious atrocities against the Lord, and we find that in 2 Kings 16. Hezekiah was recognized as a righteous, holy man who did what was right in the sight of the Lord. Like David, who was Israel's greatest king, one of the first things that he did as king, he reformed the house of the Lord. And certainly you can find that in 2 Kings chapter 18 and 2 Chronicles chapter 29. Hezekiah returned religious life around. But here's the thing. Hezekiah's son, Manasseh, who succeeded him, did the opposite. He did what his great-grandfather did, and it's important to understand the hierarchy and generations, because God talks about generations, the blessings of the curses come down from generation to generation. We're living in a multi-generational society. They talk about the different generations, how one generation see life versus another generation. So when we look at generations, we have to understand their attitude, what they think, how they think, and how they're moving forward. So when we see that when Hezekiah died, his son Manasseh succeeded him, or his son became king. And we find that in 2 Kings 20 and 20. And it says, and the rest of the acts of Hezekiah and all his might, and how he made a pool and a conduit and brought water into the city, are they not written in the books of Chronicles of the kings of Judah? So we see that the Bible tells and lets us know that Hezekiah went on to be with the Lord. But then we understand that Manasseh spent 55 years undoing everything that his father had done. We have got to be careful. Sometimes we commit ourselves and we have to pray for our family members. We pray for our kids because our kids seem to get influenced and Satan gets in their minds and they show them or may have anger against their parents or may be frustrated with us. And then you see that they tear down everything after you leave what you have tried to do. They tear down. They're angry and they're frustrated. We've got to make sure that we balance our lives, spend time with our kids. Here the word is clear. He spent 55 years of his reign tearing down everything that his father had implemented. Meaning, what you mean? It means that he followed after the footsteps of his grandfather. Imagine before Hezekiah, his grandfather got out of here, or Hezekiah's father moved, and this is just my point of view, that Ahaz influenced his grandson. Boy, this is what you need to do. Don't follow after the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the God of Israel. And certainly Manasseh put up idols and caused the people to sin, caused the people to worship foreign gods. This is Hezekiah's son. Now, Manasseh would reign 55 years. 55 years, y'all, before he ended or before he died, and that's found in 2 Kings 21, and then his son, Amon, would reign in his stead. But guess what, y'all? God gets tired of our foolishness. God gets tired of us not following his commands. He gets tired of telling us to go left, and we keep going right. What happened to Manasseh's son? 2 years into his reign, he was killed by a servant. I imagine Amon wanted to put into place the stuff that his father had put into place, those pagan shrines, those things, the idols. And the Bible is clear. We are not to worship anything greater than our God, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not even to worship our children, our money, our homes, greater than the Lord thy God. He says he wants us to worship him alone. Who's first? God's first. Who reigns superior in our lives? God does. So here we are. Manasseh has a son. His son gets into the kingship and only lasts 2 years without being murdered. Then who comes on the scene but Josiah? Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. He was 8 years old. But here's the difference between Josiah, his father, his grandfather. He was like his great-grandfather, great-great-grandfather. Yeah, great-grandfather. I'm trying to get them grandfathers. He was Hezekiah. I'm trying to figure it out. But this is the third generation. So he steps into place, Josiah. He becomes king at a young age, meaning he was only 8 years old when he became king of Judah. And he begins to reform the kingdom. He begins to rebuild the temple. He begins to build back those things that his father and his grandfather before him had torn down. He begins to rebuild the house of worship. In the midst of them rebuilding the house of worship, the high priest goes in and finds the book of the law. And they bring back the book of the law. They bring back the law that Moses had written, and they read it to Josiah. Now, this was some time. It wasn't just 8 years. I think he was about 18 years old when things begin, and he starts building the temple and so forth and so on. So he's in the midst of all this going on, and the word comes to him, a word of destruction, a word of desolation, a word that God is going to bring havoc upon the nation of Judah. He was going to judge them for not obeying him. And certainly we see that in the word that Josiah becomes extremely heavy, so heavy until he just rips his clothes and he weeps. He weeps for a nation. He weeps for a place for Israel. He weeps because he knows that God's wrath is coming. So he weeps for the people of the nation, the people of God. And we've got to humble ourselves. We've got to weep for this nation. We've got to weep and pray that God will come in and intervene, because God says that you shall have no other gods before me. And we erect gods. We even put church work in front of serving a living God. We feel like we got to do this, we got to do that, and that's our relationship with God. But that is not the case. We have got to have a relationship with God. So Josiah gets convicted. He's already walking in the way of his of David. He's already trying to turn the people back to a relationship with God. So he hears the word of God, and the word of God convict him. The word is talking about what is going to happen to Israel, what is going to happen to Judah because of their unrighteousness. So he goes down and he finds a prophet. He goes down and finds a woman of God, a woman of God that is married to a dressmaker, but a person that kept the wardrobe of kings, the person that was knowledgeable, that was of influence, if you want to say. But they were a power couple. They were a power couple sitting in the village of colleges. So in essence, they had influence. They had rank. They knew people. And this is the word of God. And there were other prophets in that time. But Josiah says, I got to go. I know this woman by reputation. I know her husband. And I know that if I'm going to get it straight, let me go down and hear a word from this woman of God. And certainly we are looking to hear a word from God so that we may proceed with caution, but proceed with the authority and the might that God has given unto us, because God will provide a way. So he, the high priest, Stephan, goes down, and Stephan goes down and talks to Hilda. And Hilda proceeds to tell him, thus says the Lord. And she says, thus says the Lord. Yeah, God is going to bring destruction to the land. God is going to bring destruction because of your forefathers, because they did not walk in the way of my commands. I gave them a set of rules and told them before they got out of the promised land, while they were still in the wilderness, I'm paraphrasing it, y'all, I have given them a set of commands via Moses. I've given you what you should do and what you shouldn't do after you got over into the promised land, and you did not heed my command. Certainly, we are living in a time where people are not heeding the command of God. So because you're not heeding the command of God, sin is in the land. And sin will always be in the land because of Abraham. not Abraham, but Adam and Eve. So we understand that this is a fallen world, first off. But God has given us some provisions. God has given us a set of rules. God has given us what to do and how to do it. And do we do that? So in essence, he tells the men of God, the priests that have come to inquire of her, of the word of God, and she says, thus says the Lord. The word of the Lord came forth in Yahweh, the God of Israel. She is inclusive. She is including all of Israel, not just the southern kingdoms, but now the northern kingdom as well, which the northern kingdom has already been swallowed up by Assyria, and that's in Kings. Y'all read them Kings and Chronicles. It'll tell you much. It'll tell you much. But if you come on to class, we'll talk about it in class. Okay? So God is telling King Josiah what's going to happen. But then down in the 16th verse, I thank God because God hears us, y'all. God hears us when we cry. God hears us when we fall on our knees. I believe the saints have been praying during this coronavirus as we have been closed up in our homes. I know I've been praying, and I know God is hearing us. So God is hearing us. He's hearing the saints of God, and he's saying, I'm opening it up. I'm opening it up. Now what y'all going to do? Now when you go back to the church house, don't y'all be just still. Don't y'all act like I have an attitude of why I'm just here in the church house. But y'all better praise me like never before. Y'all better let your voices ring and shout out and give me the glory. And I'm talking about God now. I'm just interpreting the word of God. And he's saying, because God has sent into his court with praise and thanksgiving. So we are to enter the house of God with praise and thanksgiving. I know people say, well, the church is in me because the Holy Spirit dwells in me. Yeah, okay. But the presence of God, God has a temple. God has a church house. And in that church house is a certain atmosphere. It's a certain aroma. It's a certain aroma because the saints and people have been praying. And because those prayers are bouncing back on the wall, the altar is there. You know, when we talk about going to the, taking your sin to the altar, the mourner's bench, as the old saints used to say, there was the altar. You go back to the altar and repent of your sins. And then you do your first works over again, meaning you repent of your sins, and from that moment on, you serve the Lord with all diligence. You move forward in what God is telling you. You seek God like never before. So in essence, the church house, when we look at the Ark of the Covenant, when we look at that element, that piece of furniture is not just a piece of furniture, but that apparatus, that ark, that box, that Ark of the Covenant was where God dwelt, where his presence dwelt. Well, the priests, and I've often talked about this, the priests had to make sure that they were holy to go into the presence of the Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. It is the presence of God. And because it was the presence of God and dwelt there, we understand that Israel built God a temple, a house of worship. But we see in this chapter, we see in Josiah, ooh, I'm getting carried away, God. We see that God is coming and his wrath is coming. But he tells Josiah, he says, man, because you have humbled yourself, because you are trying to walk in your ancestor of David, because you are trying to walk upright before me, because you humbled yourself, because you ripped your clothes, because you have said, God, repented of your sins, I'm going
going to hold off my destruction. I'm not going to allow you to see what's going to happen to Judah, but I'm going to hold it off because you have served me, because you are walking upright before me, because you desire a relationship with God. And therefore, we see in the word that destruction did not come until 3 years after his death. I'm talking about the word of God. I'm talking about a relationship. I'm talking about proceeding with a caution but riding on faith. We see that the word says the faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of seen. We are to stand in the word of God and know that even as we are beginning to go outside, we are walking on faith. We are walking and believing that God is going to do what he said he's going to do. Now, as the churches are opening up, as we're going back into the church house, as we praise and worshiping a living God, we need to show mankind that God is able, that we don't grieve as people that don't know Christ. We don't get depressed side, and of course there's sometimes we have our different moves. But when we call on the name of Jesus, his presence illuminates us. His presence fills us. The Spirit of God gives us joy, unspeakable joy. But we've got to press into that joy because Satan wants to take the joy away. So we're riding on the faith of God to know that God is going to do what he said he's going to do. Now, what is faith? We know that faith is confident belief in the truth, a value that is trustworthy, and we know that the Bible, God, is trustworthy. Why? Because we have tried him in the past, and because we've tried him in the past, he's worked it out for our good. He's working it out now. He's bringing about those changes. He's healing our bodies. We know that we have not been stricken with coronavirus, and those of you that have been stricken with coronavirus, you're still here today because God said it's not your time. I'm not ready for you yet. You still have a work to do for me. So therefore, he has blessed you, but he's taken some of us, a lot of our loved ones, on. Hallelujah. But that's all right. It was their time. And we don't grieve because if they're going on to be with the Lord, if we live right, the Bible says heaven belongs to us. We've got to live right. We've got to repent of our sins. We've got to seek the Lord. We have got to call upon the name of the Lord. We've got to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Then we've got to ask that the gift of God, which is the Holy Spirit, will come not only on the outside, but on the inside too. It's a gift, y'all. All we got to do is say, Lord, fill me, God. Give me a greater anointing. Give me a greater understanding, God. Holy Spirit, walk with me and talk with me. Don't understand, but you do. You see all things. Therefore, you see all things. You give me the interpretation, God, and he does what? He blesses us. Ooh, he blesses us. Hallelujah. If y'all haven't noticed, I've gotten on a roll. The Spirit of the Lord has taken over this message. I pray that you have heard something that will say to you this morning, y'all proceed with caution. Proceed with God's wisdom. Proceed with God's direction. Proceed with God's understanding. Put your armor on as you go out the house, but ride on knowing that God is with you. Ride with the confidence that God is going to bring you through. Ride with the evidence that God is working it out as he's opened up the doors and provided us with financial blessings that we did not deserve. We don't deserve it, but he opened it up. He opened up some blessings that we weren't expecting, but he says, I'm going to bless my people, and he has blessed us. He has made a way for us. He's turned up every rock to bless those that are walking up right before him, because that's how good he is. He's good, good, good. He's like Campbell's soup. Mm-mm, good. Oh, hallelujah. I dare you to try him. I dare you to come into the presence of God. I dare you to say, Lord, just allow your presence to radiate in me, God. Oh, God, I come before you this morning. I come before you asking you to shower down on me. Shower down on me, Spirit of the living God. Just commune with me some. God, I worship and I adore you. God, I magnify you. God, I praise you because what you have done, but not only what you have done for me, but who you are. You've God of gods. You King of kings. God, you will answer my prayers. Let's pray. Those of you out there in radio land, that if you don't know this great God, I challenge you to know him. To know him, to know him. If you've been afflicted, if you're sick in your bodies, I will guarantee and I stand on the promises of God that he will heal your body. There's nothing too hard for God. So I challenge you to reach up and find confidence in a living God that's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that you can ask or think. Like Josiah, who humbled himself and sought the word of the Lord, and the word of God came back. But God also honored him as a man of God. Think not God won't honor you as a woman or a man of God who's walking up right before him. He will not give you your children in salvation. He will not give you the land. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Why? Because his word is on the line. And the Bible says God can only swear by himself. So people, catch hold of faith. Proceed with caution, but ride on the faith of God. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this time. We thank you for those, God, that have heard this broadcast, this blog. God, I pray, God, that you touch them, God. And if there's anyone out there that's not saved, I pray, God, that you'll give them a mind on this morning to repent of their sins and accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, God. I pray right now in the name of Jesus that if they accept you, God, that they will get into a good Bible-based church, God. There's so many that now that's operating on Facebook, YouTube, and television, when they can hear a word. So I pray, God, that you direct and guide them to that ministry that will teach them, will make the word relevant to their lives. And we pray for all generations that may be listening to this, God, that something may be said that will convict them, God, to know that you're able to do, if they put their hands in you, depression, anxiety, frustration, you're able to heal all of those things. God, I pray for them right now. I pray for salvation. I pray for this world. I pray for those that are sick and shut in. I pray for Mother Edwards who has been diagnosed with coronavirus. God, she's gone through a major surgery, Father God, but this is a woman of God in her 90s, and I know that you will continue to keep and bless her like never before. God, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I pray for each and every one that have heard this broadcast, God, that you will heal, deliver, and set free, God. I pray, God, that no problems will befall them as this has run just a little bit longer, God, but we pray for those that have tuned in, and Father God, continue to bless them richly. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I'm sorry I've gone over my time, but be blessed. Tune in on next week where my co-hosts will bring it on home and bring it on in. And don't forget, Bible class starts on this Thursday at 5 p.m. If you have not gotten your registration in, you cannot you won't be able to have access to the classes. And we certainly talked about the books, or if I told you that we would be dealing with Survey of the Old Testament by Paul N. Benware. We're also going to be dealing with the Bible workbook.
And this is by, this is the first volume, which is the Old Testament, and this is by Catherine B. Walker. So get those books. If you don't know where to get them, just give me a call, 309-750-7584. I will send you a link, and certainly we can get started. I see you on this Thursday coming up. Be blessed. Bye-bye. Okay.